holiness of the Father, to feel His great presence in every fiber of our being. Makes you just want to get up and dance before Him. Last night as we shared, I kept thinking of this particular scripture. When Moses went up on the mountain in Exodus 23:9, it says, "Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, as it were the body of heaven in his clearness." And we are seeing that in each other. So beautiful. As we sat around the table last night and broke the bread of love and fellowship and
going from house to house breaking.
Yes, I love the way Sue's brought that out. It's awesome. It's just awesome. Each one has so much to offer. We're getting through our identity crises and knowing more every day who we are and why we were sent. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I love every one of you. We welcome Rokas and Carolyn to come speak now and share with us.
We've already sang all our songs. It's pretty awesome. And you know, the amazing thing is, especially that one song you sang, "In This Holy Moment." Of course, Ken, I've been singing that for years, but I went there today.
Yes.
When you were singing, I went into that holy moment. It was here.
Yes.
For us to go in and to be empowered. So it's, you know, just singing them because you love us. I'm thankful that you do love us. But there's a great truth awakening in our hearts. Just reading.
Yeah?
All right. She wants to sing
something.
Well,
just that song keeps coming to you.
It's so beautiful, you know. Every invitation that you hear from the Spirit, you can extend to each other.
He's extending.
You know that, don't you?
Explain a little bit.
Every invitation that you hear from Jesus, you can extend to each other. You know, of course, it takes a while. You don't do it overnight. You don't feel worthy of that. She wants to sing.
Be my friend.
Oh, be my friend.
Be my lover.
Be my sister. My spouse. Let go of everything that hinders. Heal the wound that's keeping us apart. The seals are broken. The book is open. Oh, we can read and remember who we are. The seals are broken. The book is open. Reading keeps us from being who we are. Oh, we can live and love and be all that we are. Oh, be my
friend
and be my lover. Be my sister, my spouse. Did you know that there is a dove. When a dove, these two particular kinds of dove, not all doves, when they mate forever. And they lay two eggs. And those, when they hatch, they are always a male and a female. They're a brother and sister. And they mate for life.
Wow. That's where that comes from, that thought. And then someone had a dream, and they saw a hand come and take one of the eggs away and put another egg in its place. We've lost, for purposes, divinely arranged purposes, there's been an interruption in our life, and we need to find it again. And we're doing that. Right, through the road of brokenness, we're finding our love. Oh, be my friend. Be my lover. Be my sister. My spouse. Let go of everything that hinders. Heal the wound that's keeping us apart. The seals are broken, the book is open. Oh, we can read and remember who we are. The seals are broken, the book is open. Nothing keeps us from being who we are. Oh, we can live and love and be all that we are.
Right, Corey.
All right.
It's beautiful to be here. You know, you are our sister fellowship here. So every Sunday we think about you guys sending our love and blessings. So many of us, you are getting the same words, that we are in a little bit different terminology, but it's, we are a body. I felt for 2013 that it was going to be a year of release. And on our travels these last 2.5 weeks, I have seen a thread. Because I asked God, I said, what do you mean by release? What are we being released from or released to? And I have seen wherever we went, there's like a bag that's had holes in it. And the holes are being sewn up. And that which has leaked our energy is now going to be given back to us. Because I was reading in Mark this morning, and it says, by what authority do you do these things? When we have our energy being leaked out, we can't speak from the place of authority that the Father has for us in our marriage to Yeshua. Because we know that He ascended above all heavens and principalities and powers. But we have to marry that lover. And out of that dimension, when our energy is not leaked out to a lot of different areas, then we can speak with authority in our marriage to Yeshua. And I see that happening in the body of Christ. Wherever we went, I saw it. I saw adjustments being made and people being released so they can truly walk in that dimension of authority that is theirs from the Father. Amen. So it's wonderful to be with all of you again. We love you all so much and appreciate you so much. Amen.
Well, that's exciting, Carolyn. That's the scripture I wanted to read. Isn't that kind of neat, isn't it? Can I use this?
Let me tune in.
Pretty awesome. Triggered in the moment with truth. Little things in our lives, little events that seem insignificant and sometimes humorous, sometimes not so humorous, are triggers. Everything's an opportunity, another chance. Everything, without exception. That's called redundancy. Everything is everything, without exception. So God gets redundant sometimes. He said to Carolyn, He said, everything, without exception. That's redundant. it comes into your space to awaken you. And I might add, for your edification, the things particularly that you don't like. They are the more challenging ones. They're the ones that will bring you to greater progress. They'll help you make a stand, take a position, right? So everything is an opportunity, another chance. We got another chance this morning and tomorrow morning and yesterday. There are no end to opportunities to avail yourself of progress, of evolving, of becoming, of life. Glory. And in Luke chapter 20, she quoted it from Mark. I'm going to quote it to you from Luke, but it's the same scripture. It says, we're in a war. You know, have you noticed we're in a war? Hello? Where do you want to look and not see it? Right? I watched a YouTube video, has, I don't know how many million views it has, about this pride of lions is laying out there in Africa somewhere and looking down, and the water buffalo are coming to the ponds, to the common watering hole. And these hungry lions are waiting for their daily meal or their monthly meal. I don't know how often they eat. And they're not going to try to grab one of those huge water buffaloes. They know better. But they saw a straggling calf. So they grab this straggling calf when the rest of the herd isn't looking. They're going to drag it into the water to drown it. And here comes an alligator out of the water to help. He's not going to help them drown it. He's going to drown it for himself. And he's pulling in this YouTube now. This is live, unedited. It's not Walt Disney, you know. This is live, in the moment, real. Better than a reality show, right? And this alley, you see the alligator pulling on the calf, and you see the lions pulling on the calf the other way. And the poor old kinder struggling and heaving goes on several minutes, and finally they get it up on the shore. They're winning, the lions. And the herd of buffalo, water buffalo, have turned around. They know something's going on there that they don't care about. So they're coming back. So not real fast, but they're coming back, and they got their heads lowered. And the main chief alpha water buffalo guy gets in there and finally rushes and just throws one of those lions, just real. Yeah, you want to Google it, get it. You'll never be the same, you know. Yeah. Next time your wife comes after you, say, well, that's nothing to what I saw on TV. So you say, God, I'm so glad you're not a water buffalo, you know. So they... Your husband, yeah, whatever. That's whatever, right? Your boss. It's, hey, life happens, right? So along comes the water buffalo and this chase. And finally, they drive the lions away and the alligator's gone and the calf walks away. That's why it's so popular. Wow. But the lions were just hungry lions. The alligator was just trying to get a bite to eat. They weren't mean. They're just doing what was in their genes. They were mourned for that. And the water buffalo, they just wanted to protect what was theirs, their maternal instincts. There's a really beautiful, awesome show going on here. And guess what? The most interesting part, somebody's watching this show. I happen to be watching it because somebody had a video camera or a cell phone. Yeah, it showed their Jeep. They had good lenses and cameras. They just caught this unbelievable scenario. So I'm watching it on TV. But this has been going on for a lot longer than I've been around. And before we had TV, before we had YouTube, this was going on. It's been going on for a long time. Somebody else is watching this. Somebody's watching this for a reason. They want to learn something. They want to know something. Something's being revealed in this scenario. And finally, they thought, well, this isn't doing the job. Lions and tigers, and they do a great job. They're very obedient. But they don't have cognitive ability. They can't really participate in the program. They're just victims of what they are. So let us create man.
Yes. Okay.
Am I taking you? I'm going to take you here a little bit. I'm going to go here a little bit, see if we can get somewhere. I don't know if we can't. Let me give it a shot. Here in Luke, the 20th chapter, it says... And it came to pass on one of those days as I was watching YouTube. He taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. The chief priests and the scribes, I've been trying to decide who they are. I think the chief priests got to be the politicians. The scribes got to be the lawyers. And the elders maybe are the preachers. Came upon him and said, do you work at Walmart? By what authority do you do these things? And this is what Carolyn took us this morning. And she brought it right home. This is the question that's being raised in your life in some way. Right? By what authority do you do these things? And of course, it's amazing to read how Jesus handled it. I don't want to spend too much time on that. You want to read that. It's rather brutal and amazing how he answers those Pharisees. And you know how it goes. The baptism of John was from him over men, and they counseled among themselves, as politicians will do. We might, it's perfect. This is not new, folks. Just read it. Hey. We got to say this. We got to be politically right. We might lose the next election if we don't say this right.
Yeah.
They were concerned about what the people thought, right? Mm-hmm. They weren't concerned about truth. Okay, it's okay. That's been around a long time. We're not dealing with something that's just happening in our generation. We're part of an ongoing program on this planet that's been running for a long time. But I promise you this, we're coming to the conclusion of something. We're not at the beginning of something. We're being enlightened. We're being given to understand. Now, this is what Jesus is talking about here has not been understood. Let me go on a little bit. This is not part. You're not going to find Paul talking about this, Peter, James and Mary, they're not going to just talk about this. It was not fair for the Piscean age, right? We talked about this yesterday. Here we are at time sequence, right? Taurus, Aries, Pisces, and we're right here, the picture, the pouring out of truth, the pouring out of water into the single fish's mouth, right? The biggest fish that's ever been caught in this river. And, well, maybe I should just mention that. I'm fishing for a fish here today. For a truth, an embodied truth. A fish is an embodied truth of awareness and light. Lions don't cut it. They can't, they're not cognitive. They can't think about themselves. You can. You can participate in the program and you can ask, okay, God, I'm feeling this. I want to own this feeling, God. I want to talk to you about it to help me understand. I know that I'm being drawn on a flannel graph to show a picture. There's alligators, lions around. I want to understand. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? Help me see what, so I can know my oneness with you. Can I participate in the program not as a spectator or not as a victim, but in my divine knowing as the Son of God, I want to participate in the program of my own life.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
You're not the alligator or the calf or the lion or the water buffalo, but you could be any one of them at any one time. Any of those feelings are yours. Yeah, and you probably felt all of them at some time or another. Right? All right, so he says, Jesus said, if you can't tell me about John the Baptist, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Then he began to speak to the people this parable. What was he talking to them about? About by what authority he does these things. Those Pharisees came and they stuck their barb and precipitated this truth that's coming forth in this parable, just like it will in your life. They'll come. It'll happen. And you'll be pricked. And you'll dig down and they will precipitate a question in you, and you will ask and you will be answered. Just like Jesus. He was answered. Now, I'm telling you, Jesus didn't go home and sit down and says, well, what am I going to talk to these disciples about tomorrow? I better get my concordance out. Now, I'm for a concordance. I've got one. And he said, well, God, I got somebody on the library here. And I'm for that. I'm for that. But that's not where he got it. He got it in the moment. In the moment of his experience. From the Holy Father. How come he could get it? And what I want to show you today, if I can, is the thing that short circuits you from connecting in the moment to the life flow of light that's coming from the Father to help you walk your journey. That's what I'm after. Let me say it again, and then we'll see after when I'm done if I've answered the question or not. What I'm after is for you and I to know what short circuits us in the moment. Every moment is an opportunity, right? But we are not always able to take advantage of the opportunity. Something happens that short circuits us, and like a red herring dragged across the, a red herring is, right? It's a dead fish. They drag it across the track, and then the dogs hit that smell, and they lose the track. So something happens, gets dragged across our track, and we lose the moment of our oneness.
Yeah.
Where we hear the eternal truth that answers the question, by what authority you do these things. Now, Jesus was not short-circuited. When they came, when they came at him, they didn't say, Jesus, we really like you. We love what you're saying. And we love what's happening to your people. And we'd like to understand by what authority you do this thing so we can participate with you. That's not what they were saying. What they were hoping to do was to get him to react to their accusation. And if he had, he would have short-circuited at the moment. He didn't react. First of all, he knew right there he was not obligated to answer them at all. Number one.
Wow.
He knew that. He knew they had no authority and no right to question him in the first place. The thing that might have tempted him, if there had been any thought in him that he was unworthy of the place he was in, because maybe in some time in his past he hadn't done things quite right, if he would allow that to overtake, if he would have let the judgment that was coming place in him, he would have been short-circuited. Now, dare I get personal? If I use myself, can I get real personal here? All right. I'm really a lover. I think about what I say. I never want to hurt a soul. Really. Because it's not beneficial for me. If I hurt people, I shut their door. They can't hear what I say. I've hurt plenty of people in my life. I know how it works. Right? So I walks into my dear friend Johnny and Connie Purnell's home. I walk in, and there's a person standing there by the door. I see them. I says, I wonder who that is. And I walked on. Then I walked around, and the person says to me, you don't recognize me, do you? Ooh, ouch. And unconsciously, without trying, immediately I went, oh, I should know who this person is. I'm failing this person. I should be more kind and more considerate so they don't feel ignored. Oh, God. I went there. Johnny would have saved me if he could have.
I'll shoot him.
You know, and because it happened publicly, I think I'm okay to say it. You're not going to... You know, normally I won't do this because it's a little bit personal. But I quickly looked and found some reason to give her that I didn't recognize her. Quick, so that she would know that I really did love her. It's just that I couldn't see who it was. And I said, well, your hair's different. And there comes my faux pas, my ultimate error. And you've gained a little weight. Ooh. Down he went. That alligator just drug him down in the water and drowned him right there.
Johnny went back to the closet.
And the reason I can tell her, because it was really funny. And I'm sure that the person doesn't mind.
Tell apart when she came back what she said to you. It was remarkable.
It was remarkable.
Yes.
It was remarkable. But it... In a tiny microcosm of my own personal experience, God extending the light of truth so I can see cosmic things. Yes. So I can see, I can understand this scripture. What he did not do. I did what he did not do. It wasn't his concern whether the Pharisees liked him, whether he understood them. He knew that this was, he saw beyond the person, he saw what was really happening in the situation. And he knew it because he's been here. He knew it because he was human. He didn't know it because he was divine. He knew it because he was human. All right, so he goes on. And here's the thing. Now let me just, I want to show you the cosmic significance of a tiny microscopic event happening in my personal, very personal life, unfolding, opening my book, helping me to read the eternal truth of light. All right? By what authority do you do things? And there's a man Then he began to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. He led it forth. He gave, abrogated his authority. He gave them authority over. Right? Over the vineyard. For a purpose. Then later on, he wants to get the fruit from the vineyard, and he can't. Because those to whom he gave power can said, hey, we don't have to give him his, we can just own the vineyard ourselves. Right? What's he talking about? He's talking about the creation. This is cosmic.
Yes.
He's talking about his attitude, his father's. Jesus is explaining the power of his authority on the basis of the attitude of the father. The father is like what kind of a parent? Permissive?
Permissive.
Parent. He gave, freely gave. So, now, finally, I mean, finally. I mean, prophets die. Finally, he says, well, I got to do something about this. I've got to do something. This is my vineyard. I owe it to my vineyard to do something about this. All right. Let me show you what I believe. Give us an understanding here. We got a military man here. He might help us. This is the coast of Normandy. Second World War, right? Here's the, what is it, the Atlantic Ocean here? And here's a flotilla, the Armada, right? Trying to land the Allies on foreign territory, enemy territory. Enemy. Repossess rightful possession. So it's this talking about. All right, we need a, what's the name for this?
The beachhead.
That's the word, a beachhead. Now, this is where the beachhead began. It begins right here in the beginning. I'm going to read about it right in the book. That's for the beach. This is the beachhead. Is in Genesis. But you can't understand the beachhead by looking at Genesis. You got to look at this man, Jesus, to understand the beachhead. You are that beachhead. Jesus is not. He's your way to help you understand you are the beachhead.
Amen.
Fair enough? Why did he say, why is this recorded? By what authority? So that we would read this, so that we would understand that there's something in your space questioning your authority, so that you will stand up on your feet and say, well, this is my house.
Yes, indeed.
Amen.
I can stand up. This is my house. Right? I can stand up in my house and say my truth.
Indeed.
All right, now this is my house, right? The Father's house. This is my house. My vineyard. And he's standing up in his house as you. But you are not a lion, a kangaroo, an alligator. You are a sentient, conscious being. You can know who you are, and you can be not a victim or a perpetrator. You can own the experience. You have a right and the capability of owning your life. You have a right to stand up in your life and say, no.
Yes.
This is my house. But what authority do you do these things? Because I own the thing. That's why I have authority. This is my vineyard. You are a trespasser. I gave you power that you misused. All right. Let's go. This is not. If it comes from your ego and from your sense of disenfranchisement, then you've already lost. You've already been. The red herring's already come across your path. You don't have authority. You don't have authority on the basis of your ego. All right. This beachhead. Now, how is Jesus a picture of the beachhead? Well, then this is going to surprise you, and it surprises me. And it's going to surprise every Christian that's ever come this way if they ever get to hear it or see it. It's going to be totally opposite to what you think. There's a nail. There's a nail, and there's a nail, and there's a nail, and there's a spear, and there's a prick. They're all thorns. They're all pricks. And there's six of them. Thank you, Karen. One, two, three, four, five, six. Six thorns. That pricked him. Wounded. He was pricked. He was wounded. And it's clearly understood that he was wounded for your transgression. Right? You know that. You've already understood that he was wounded for your transgression. But you assumed that he was wounded because you're a victim.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you couldn't pay the price, so Jesus did. And you know why you felt that way? Because that's how you felt. It wasn't wrong. It was exactly how you felt. And you needed to be forgiven. And you needed to cry out for mercy. And you needed to repent. And you needed salvation. A whole age has gone by so that you would know that you really felt like a victim. But what you didn't know is how you came to be a victim. You thought it was something that you did. Why? Because you can't feel like a victim if you don't feel wrong.
Yes.
So even your feelings of being wrong are part of the journey. But now it's time to wake up. These six pricks, according to Karen, are in the very first, there's a word in there that means six thorns. So this lamb that was slain, was slain from the beginning of time. It was in the program from the beginning.
Yes.
How could it be in the program before anybody did any wrong?
Lamb slain before the foundation.
Amen.
Yes.
Did he anticipate that you were going to do wrong and then already paid for you before you did it? I don't think so. No. Because the truth isn't that he was wounded for your transgressions to redeem your transgressions. He was wounded so that you would understand why you have transgressions. He came not so much to take your transgressions away. He did in the sense that you were totally, totally drowned out by them. He had to do that. But ultimately, if you'll really go on and listen to what he's saying to you. And you're not going to like this. I didn't like it. And my dear Methodist friends aren't going to like it. But he wants you to own your transgressions.
Amen.
He wants you to own your woundedness.
Absolutely.
What is this? It's woundedness.
Yes.
Hello? Hello? It's woundedness. He came to show you woundedness. And why? Because you have woundedness.
Yes. We do.
Yeah. Put it there.
Yeah. It's power in admitting it.
And your woundedness is your privilege to participate in the program of redemption.
Yes.
That's what he showed. Well, how did Jesus participate in the program of redemption? He became wounded.
Yes, yep. He did.
So what he's saying to you is you want to participate in program. You wanted to participate in the program of redemption. That's why you got on this rocket ship. That's why you got on this boat. That's why you got on this elevator. De-elevator. That's why you got on whatever it is you're on. You wanted to participate in the program, and in order to do so, you had to become wounded.
Yes.
Your woundedness is not because you ate from the wrong tree. The wounded isn't because this woman that you gave me, or because this snake lied to me. That's not where your woundedness came from. Where did his woundedness come from? He said, I have power to lay down my life to get wounded. That's the thing. I have power to get wounded. I have authority. This commandment have I, what, received? Can you finish it? From my Father. Your power of your woundedness came by the commandment of your Father. Right? Jesus, by what authority do you do these things? This commandment have I received from my Father. This is what I am. This is what I came to be. But I came to be that so that you might understand. In one little individual 2,000 years ago is the cosmic significance for your life. You can understand cosmically who you are by looking at this man. This is what you are. This is what you are. All right, how does that work? All right, let's just go back to the, what is it? You have to understand what the foreign territory is. What is the enemy territory? Well, it's fear. Mm-hmm. It's abandonment. Mm-hmm. It's powerlessness. Well, we can list. We'll just list a few.
Anger is the big one.
Anger. Anger.
Anger. Of course, anger is the trigger emotion that'll take you down into your denial. I'll show you some of them here. Right? These are. Show you. This is enemy territory we're talking about now. This is what caused. This is what causes you not to be who you think you are, right? This is fear. The pricking of fear in your mind. That fits really beautifully, doesn't it? Right? And this is, you can't do, you can't go. So this is dysfunctionality of any kind.
Yes.
Right? You can look for some reason in your childhood if you want to. Well, your dad didn't treat you right. Your mom didn't treat you right. Right? Your uncle abused you. But yeah, no, that's just how you got it. That's not where it came from.
Amen.
It came because you volunteered for the program. You said, yes, I will, Father. Yes, I will go. I will become. I want to be part of your great redemption. Huh? I will join the allies. I will be part of a landing force to create a beachhead, right? And this wound in his side, I didn't ever understood it. I asked the Lord about that one, and he said, this lady was sitting in church, and she says, the preacher began to talk about the spear in his side, and I knew he was talking about me, the lady says to me. Whoa, I said, here's my opportunity. I'll figure it out now. I said, well, what was happening? What were you feeling? Oh, she said, I was so disappointed. So there's, if you have disappointment, disappointment, right? All right, so this is the enemy territory. The only way that you can possibly hope to liberate that poor Dutch boy in Holland, that's where we were living, Second World War, what did the poster say? The guy with the hat?
Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam. You, Uncle wants you, is it?
Yeah, Uncle Sam wants you.
Wants you. The only way you know, the military, the naval guns didn't do it. They never really took care of the batteries. The airplanes couldn't do it. They could mash the opposition. The only thing is to have a live representative go on shore and actually occupy the territory. They had to occupy the territory. How do you occupy the territory? What's the territory? I don't want you to miss the point here. Fear, shame. Now the root negative emotion, according to Power and Force, has the largest negative value, like 1,000 or something. The root negative emotion is shame. Every other emotion stems from that. So if you want to land on the beachhead, you have to participate in Shame. Have you been ashamed of anything? Have you had reason to feel shame lately?
I'm guilty.
No, you're not guilty.
But I felt it.
No, but yeah. No, you're privileged. Because you can still feel shame.
Yes.
You're privileged because you have an emotional body. You can feel. You know where the enemy territory. You're privileged. I mean, it's been driven home in your soul where you can't escape it. And somebody had to help you go there. And they were appointed to you. It's their job.
Hallelujah.
I can hardly believe it. It's awesome. Now I'll show it to you in the scriptures, because if this is coming out of some inflated kind of New Age metaphysical gibberish, you don't need it. You don't need it. But I'm going to show it to you, and it unequivocally. Now, I don't know very much about how we got on the beachhead. I really don't. But I have just a few impressions, and I have learned that when you're truly beginning to hear something from God, all your negative stuff starts coming up, start telling you, no, this can't be so, because, and you find all kinds of reason, right? All right, in the beginning, I have to read it verbatim in the second chapter. Yes. Maybe you can help me find it. They were naked. If you've got your Bible open, I know it's got to be here in chapter 2 or 3 or something.
225?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there we go. 225. And they were, God made them, male and female, and they were naked and not ashamed. Now, of course, the word naked mean is they could see everything about each other. It's not talking about physical naked. The physical naked is a picture of it. The real nakedness is transparency. They were transparent to each other. They didn't hide from each other. You know, it's really kind of wonderful to be able to hide. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Hiding is good. Oh yeah. But they were in a state of being where they didn't know what it was like to hide. They were in a spirit form.
Yes. Forgot that.
Where they didn't have that ability to hide. It wasn't given to them. That's all it's saying. It wasn't saying it's good to be naked, or it's good to, it's not, it's just describing a situation. Then after they participated of the tree, and you just can't read it about it and try to understand it, it doesn't work. I've been trying to read it for all these years, it doesn't help. You have to say, okay, God, what are you saying? And this is what God says to me. It's a portal, it's how you got here. It's an opening that was made so that you could become physical.
Yeah.
The tree is a portal for descent.
Amen.
Can I just draw a quick comparison? I've been struggling a lot over, there's been many teachers in the world that are good. And Buddha is one of them. He was 500 years before Jesus. He taught things that you can find taught in a number of things Jesus taught. Buddha taught, right? What did Buddha call himself?
The Enlightened.
The Enlightened One. Did Jesus call himself the Enlightened One?
No.
What did he say?
I am the light.
Huh? He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. My Father sent me. Nothing goes up that doesn't come down. No one ascends but he that came down from of heaven, even the Son of Man who is. Jesus described himself as that which is took on form. In the beginning was the Word. He came from the eternal world and returns to the world. He doesn't say, I'm the enlightened one. He says, I'm the descended one.
Yes.
Okay, now both are good. It's good to be enlightened and to know you're enlightened. And it's all for me better, because this is what I am. I am that which came down from the worlds of light to participate in material consciousness, in being human. And I must understand why I came. I cannot be what I am if I don't understand why I came.
Yes.
You'll be trying to live some image that will never work. You're trying to live up to somebody's idea why you're here. You're here to be good. You're here to help others. You're here, whatever. You'll try to live, and it ain't going to work. Unless you hear from God why you're here, you can't be who you are.
Amen.
Just as simple. And me saying it is not going to do it. Me saying it might help you go in the right direction. But the only way you're going to do it is you're going to say, okay, God, I want to know for me. I don't care what Roger says. I want to know for me. And he might be totally right. I think he's right. He must be right. It's okay if he's right or not, but it doesn't matter. God, I need my connection with you. I need to understand why you sent me. And I need to know it in detail. You don't have to tell me the whole thing, but just let me know. Give me some kind of comfort in knowing that you sent me so that I can know who I am. See, this is a passion that's in your soul.
Yes, it is.
It is this man's soul, because somebody said, well, John, you care about people. Where did you get that? Right? All right, so now, after they participated with the tree, what does it say? And they were naked. Let's see, it's got to say it here, so we might as well read it, right? Oh, yeah. And the Lord God called to Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard your voice, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So they were naked now, and they were ashamed. So what did the portal do for them?
Gave shame.
It enabled them to have shame. Mm-hmm. Where? That's the beachhead. That's the enemy territory. You took sin consciousness of the cosmos on you. The root of all sin consciousness is shame. Why? Because it questions you, not what you do. It questions who you are. It questions the authority of your being, not the authority of what you do, don't do. It says, you're not good. There's something faulty with you. That's shame. It is the root of the beachhead. And you and we participated in that. And it's been a long, hard road. What's the road? To get rid of shame? The road is not to get rid of shame. That's because we've been so victimized by it, we thought, well, the only way we're going to live is to get rid of the shame. And true, you do. It's true. That is true. But it's not the whole truth. The whole truth is you need to understand why you have shame. And you need to own that shame. And then you need to know how to walk through that shame and say no to it.
Yes.
There's the complete package.
Yes.
If you just get rid of it and say, thank God, I was so ashamed. Well, I'm glad somebody prayed for me and my shame is gone. How wonderful is that? No, that is not wonderful. Now, let me tell you a quick story. I understand it right now. Years ago, somebody told me a vision that somebody saw the great evangelist, starting with William Branham, right up to Oral Roberts. They were all fishing in this river. And one of them, William Branham, the first one, caught a fish. And he jerked up his line and he pulled up all the other lines with it. And guess what he had on the line? A little fish. What's the little fish? Little fish is that somebody can pray for you and deliver you. That's the little fish. Because it doesn't do the job. because you'll go back out there and you'll get some more to sing. Now, not all. Lots of them have been delivered and set free, and I'm thankful. I've been delivered. I've been set free. You've been delivered. You know, I don't pretend the little fish isn't good. So we were on this trip, and we came to visit with
Mary Wisnett.
And we're talking about what's happening with us. Something, it says something's changing in us. Something's happening, something divine, something wonderful. I'm able to own, I'm able to not just say I'm one with God, I'm able to really allow myself to feel it and know it. There's something shifting in our consciousness about all that we've heard all these years. We're being able to own it and be it. And she says, you know, I had this strange dream. I was fishing in a river, and my line was all tangled up. But when I had this rod, she said, a rod of authority, a rod of truth, you know, whatever you interpret it how you want to. And my line was all tangled up, and it sure looks tangled up. She threw it out there, and the river was muddy, and she caught a fish. And it was the biggest fish that was ever caught in this river. I'm talking about it. This is the biggest fish that I'm talking about. Is the biggest fish. The awareness that shame is your opportunity, your emotional body, and the experiences of shame and dysfunctionality are that allows you to participate in the beachhead. And to take the sin upon you. You are that Lamb of God.
Yes, amen.
You are the sin bearer for humanity. Yes. Not so that you can be drowned in it. Hello? Not so you can drown in it. Nuh-uh. No, it's not given to you for to drown in it.
Please.
It's given for you to go through it, to say no. It's given for you to stand in your house and say, this is my house. And you will not do in my house. This is my house for me to live in. You can't hitchhike on my spirit like you're doing.
Hallelujah.
I command you to leave my house. Nobody can make it leave your house except you. See, that's how individual, that's how God is. If you think you got a problem, God's got a problem. If you think I got a house, God's got a house. It's not a problem. It's opportunity for the unfolding of consciousness.
Yes,
for the becoming. Because when you will never know that you own your body until you have a feeling that you don't own it, somebody else rides on you like a damn hitchhiker and you can't get rid of him. We had one like that once. We were driving along up in Michigan somewhere, and I was overcome by something, and this guy was by the road, and we picked him up, and he had a ferret.
Oh.
And ferrets, you know what ferrets do? They stink. They don't stink because they're dirty. They stink because they're ferrets. Oh my God, this thing stank. So we had to find a way to get this sucker off the boat. So we went and took a bath. We stopped at the beach and we thought, well, maybe if this thing swims, didn't help a bit. So finally we got close to Chicago and we were lying through our teeth. We lied. I learned how to do that. So I took advantage. I said, well, there's this church in Chicago we've got to go to. And if you're still here tomorrow morning on the road, why, you know, I didn't promise him we would, but I let him believe that we really didn't. I didn't want to hurt him or his ferret. So we put him off the side of the road. He says, well, I guess since we did this, I suppose we should do something about it. So we went to the Yellow Pages and said, come as you are. Oh, that's good for us because he probably smells like ferrets. And we found a church. What church was it?
A vineyard church.
You ever been to one of them?
Yeah, awesome people.
I tell you what now, this Vineyard church woman came to here and said, there's something riding on your shoulder, something dark. It's people that are praying against you.
They were.
Yeah, there were people praying against us. They were doing us a good, I mean, they were doing it because they knew we were wrong. God showed up. But they were a negative thing sitting on her shoulder. And this person commanded That's the little fish. And we were thankful for the little fish. I don't want you to ever think I'm not thankful for the little fish. But the bigger fish is what we're wanting to catch. What we're catching in the muddy river, it's not clear for us to see it really, what it is. Don't you think that's wonderful?
Amen.
Don't you think? I don't know if have I said it. Oh yeah, what was I saying? Okay, now. All right. Now here comes the I'll end with this. Because nobody should speak more than 20 minutes because it just gets too much. It's hard to sit that long in the same place, much less listen to all that. But remember my original thought was that when your question, when the opportunity comes, and then something gets said that short circuits something in you, and you lose the connection, and you're not able to be who you are in that moment, right? Well, what is that? It's that shame deep down inside of you that you haven't owned fully. You haven't owned fully that the thought that no matter what it looks like, no matter what you've done, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you've done, no matter how righteously guilty you can feel, you know, I know I screwed up. I know I shouldn't have done that. I know I wasn't there. I know I abandoned my children or whatever. You can all find whatever you need. It's your way to hide. But you're going to have to come into the light.
That's right.
You're going to have to become thankful. When somebody says to you, "Wow, you gained a little weight," or they say, let me tell you the rest of it because it's so good. Can I make myself vulnerable?
This is a good place to do it.
Huh? This is a good, because you're going to... You I want to tell you what Roka said. All right, the darkness coming you.
Oh, that might be a sign.
It might be a sign. But so this lady came back in the room, and she says, "Well, yeah, you still look older than your wife."
Yes, she did.
And boom, I immediately understood her.
Now, this is Margaret. She went off the process.
Yeah, Margaret. And immediately I understood how I had made Margaret feel. Mm-hmm. All right? So we're understanding the dynamics of guilt. Self created guilt. Nothing wrong with me because I think, hey, it's a good deal.
Yes.
But apparently I am a little sensitive about it. Right?
Yes.
Well, own it, Rokas. Ask yourself, what is that? What are you feel you're not, whatever, own it. I won't, better not go any further than that. It's my, for me to own, not for you to know about. But it's about owning our emotional body so that when somebody comes and wants to trigger you into feelings of guilt, you immediately go down there and say, "I've handled all that. Thank you, Father, for my guilt. Thank you." And then you can confront them. Confront the situation. Walk in your authority. Don't be dysfunctional. This shame that you have is to give you an opportunity to be the crucified one.
Indeed.
Isn't that beautiful? What a trip if we can go there. Thank you. I carried on long and hard, but I think we're gone. Thank you.